We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thank you for listening to Spin, the Rally Pod, brought to you by Dirtfish Rally School. For your chance to experience life behind the wheel of a rally car, head to drive.dirtfish.com to find the course that's right for you. What are you waiting for? We're right here waiting for you.
Welcome to another episode of Spin the Rally Pod. I'm Brenton Kelly. Today joining me is Jack Harrison and Nate Tennis. We are currently sitting in the conference room at Dirtfish Rally School before Olympus Rally to talk about Olympus Rally.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, how you guys
doing? Absolutely,
today?
Yeah. Well, it's the appropriate room in which to sit because we are conferring.
We are definitely conferring in this room, specifically about Olympus Rally. If you're here for WRC, we're not your guys. We're probably more the ARA guys, huh?
I would like to say so, but also, you know, turns out we're quite WRC fans.
We are definitely. We're not quite as qualified as David and Colin with the history and the stats. But
I'm sorry, who?
Exactly.
If you're looking for opinions, we're your guys.
Yeah, exactly. We've got opinions for days here. Speaking of opinions, Nate, what are you looking forward to this weekend at Olympus Rally?
You know what? It is sort of funny because I'm not a good spectator anymore. I have to admit that. It is really frustrating to watch everyone do what I love so passionately and not be able to do that. But I will say that I'm no spring chicken. So as one gets older, one likes to see other people enjoy what you've led them into. So I'm excited to see all the people that we know going out and having a really good time. So that's how I'm swallowing my disappointment of not being able to race at Olympus. and it truly is fun to just see all of the rally friends that you rarely see. You know, you see them once, twice, maybe four times a year and get an opportunity to meet up with them, see how they're doing in life, see what they've done to their car, see what their plan is, all of that. So I guess that's an extremely long response for saying that I'm just excited to see all my rally friends.
No, that's great. I mean, just for a little perspective to the viewers, this is the Dirtfish home event, right? So, I mean, when you say rally friends, it's a little more exclusive or a little more, not exclusive, a little more applicable to this situation since we're so close to the school. What is it, 2-3 hours away?
Yeah, exactly. So this is the home event. This is a former WRC event, the last one ever to have run Group B cars. You know, it's the stuff that I grew up on and grew up around. So, you know, there's a lot of me personally in Dirtfish period, but the Olympus Rally in particular is really close to home as well.
What was your first year doing it?
Let's see, 1997.
That's wild. I
don't know. Shut up. It's not that wild.
That's not that wild. I'm sorry.
All right, Jack. That long ago. I was five. But
that's cool. So while you were being five, I was rallying.
That point well taken.
Jack, what about you? What are you looking forward to this weekend?
I don't know. Like, in a very childish sense, like, I'm such a fan of the sport and just nerd out of the fact that people are going racing and they're on roads I recognize. They're in our back garden. I'm just glad to see so many people going out there and wanting to go compete. It's very easy, especially being such a big WRC fan or even an American rally fan. There's so much travel that needs to happen with the sport when it's showing up in my back garden that I know these roads. I know the people who are out there, and the fact it's 90 minutes away from us and we're out there doing elite level racing. There's something very cool about, like, they're here. They're experiencing what we get to experience. So I don't know. The Olympus is a good one for us.
It's cool, like you're saying, to see elite level and know it's been elite level. Like Nate said, this was a Group B rally at one point. May not be the exact same stages, but just the nature of the road. Maybe it is some of the same stages, Nate?
They, you know, a road by any other name. A lot of them, it's the same area, same region, same makeup, specific road. If those roads still exist everywhere, that's a question mark. Yeah. But same region for sure. Like even when we ran Wild West two months ago, those were actually still roads that were used in Olympus. So, the heritage is there for sure.
Yeah, I've been staring at the film footage for the past few weeks from 86, the last Group B year, and 87, and some of 88 too. But it's I don't even know, no words for the footage that came out of that era. Jack, you've done this rally once, right?
Yeah, so I did it in 2019 as part of the regional field, yeah.
And what was your experience like there?
Oh, it's fantastic. And I think my experience in 2019 is what the competitors are going to be looking for this weekend. It was one of the few times that Olympus was dry. We were so spoiled. It was a low of 70 degrees, 70 to 80 all weekend. A little bit of dust, but everyone had been telling us prior, it's going to be a complete like car killer. It's wet gravel. That's kind of what I'm used to. And we showed up in prime road. It was absolutely fantastic to drive on.
Yeah, it's a very interesting rally for sure. All the rallies in the U.S. have different natured roads, but this one stands out the most. I don't know if that's why they selected it for the WRC back in the day, but Nate, what can you tell us about the road specifically here in the Pacific Northwest?
You know, I've been lucky enough to go to one UK event, the McRae Memorial Stages in 2008. And what shocked me about being over there is, okay, the area obviously looked quite different, but once you got into the roads, it looked exactly like what was the old Welsh Forest or Killer Killdeer. Like it looked exactly like UK roads. So all of the old roads that you watch the old footage of RAC. Well, if you're a super nerd like myself, I watched all of that stuff growing up as a little kid, but they're very unforgiving. There seems to be a tree stump on the exit of every corner, on the outside of on the exit. The ditches will bite. You're forced to sort of drive some of the rough gravel lines that the cars ahead of you have chosen, even though they aren't correct lines. There are extremely narrow two-plank bridges that are covered with slime that are extremely slippery, that have a giant crater before and after. So there are a lot of gotchas that you don't think about that would be on a normal gravel road that are all over the place. So you have to have quite a tough car, and endurance is a huge factor on this. And especially this year, they're not being nice to us competitors, as it were. There's, I think, three stages mm-hmm. before a refuel and tire change. You don't see, they start at 9:30 in the morning and don't see a proper service until 2:00 in the afternoon. Like that's a pretty good stretch, especially considering how aggressive the roads are.
Yeah, I want to say it's three stages, refuel, and then three more stages. So I mean, getting six stages down before getting to a service is, I don't think I've seen that in a U.S. rally before. Yeah. Trying to do six stages.
Yeah, and they're 50, not 50 something miles before the first service.
Yeah, it's, yeah, exactly.
These are insane.
Not Mickey Mouse stages either. Those are proper roads.
And I mean, they're not running it in that first loop, but just for some perspective, Nuwatzel, right? The famous stage here. I've had many great moments, many almost off moments on that stage. One of my favorite stages, but this year it's longer. 22.9 miles, almost 23 miles. What do you guys think about that?
Oh, I'm all about it. The last time we did Nuwatzel was just shy of 21 miles. And it had absolutely everything. We hit a high speed on that stage. We hit some of the most technical sections on that stage. And it's interesting seeing it on day one. When we ran it in 2019, it was the last stage that we did. I think we did a loop of Windy Cougar and Nuwatzel in the morning, and then a second loop of Windy Cougar and Nuwatzel. And where it finished up before going back into the service park in the old industrial area, it was several miles of just wide open straights, like crest, crest, left six, crest, 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 right six, crest, crest. And that was when it started to connect with Eric and I, where it's like, oh my God, I think we're going to finish this rally. This is actually working. And then the one moment I remember, it was at this huge straightaway, a dip, a crest, and then it was a right two. And we were mid-conversation as we're going through, where it's like we're 2-3 miles from the end of the stage, and we're talking on these long straights, like, we're going to make it. This is awesome. And I'll never forget the quote called out by Eric, where we're just high-fiving, like, oh, we're almost there. We finished the rally. By the way, right two. We're over the crest. We're doing 105 miles an hour or something like that. Just, oh, no, slam the brake. Missed the corner by a country mile. We were very lucky that it was just a turn off, so we ended up going through some tape. Sorry for everybody else behind us. Looped it back into the straightaway, and we were dead silent for the last 2 miles. Like, okay, we're going to call the pace notes. Let's just finish this event. But Nawotzel being, you know, 23 miles for this one, massive. I think it's one of the coolest stages that we've got on the American calendar this year.
Yeah, it's definitely like, it's one of my favorite stages. So similar experience to what you had when I did the rally in 2015 or 2016. Basically, I got probably about 75% of the way through the stage, and I'm on one of those really fast straights. You know, we're flowing. We had good times throughout the day, so we were pushing. We wanted to end the night. It was the end of day one. End the night on a good note. We come into what was a left two, maybe a little bit tighter than the left two minus or something, and I came in, and my brake pedal went right to the floor.
Oh, no.
I had cooked the brakes from all the previous tight, twisty stuff before and got on a straight and just didn't have enough time for the brakes to cool off and threw just a huge pendulum. There's a great video of this, too. You know, something... Side note here, in the Pacific Northwest, the flamingos. Do you know about the flamingos?
Oh, yeah.
So some of the spectators here, they set up flamingos on the outside of some of the spectator corners, and then they rate and count how many flamingos you've knocked off, or knocked down. The corner that I cooked the brakes on was the corner with the flamingos, so there was plenty of cameras there.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter how you do the rest of the event. The spectator corner, how you approach that, most important corner.
That's properly number one.
Exactly. But more or less, cooked the brakes, came in, did a pendulum, made the corner perfectly fine, didn't hit a lot of the flamingos, but I made the corner and finished the race.
That's awesome.
It was good. Jack, tell me about the car you did Olympus in.
Yeah, so it was a 1983 Volvo 242 Turbo. Lovingly called Karen. We actually named her at that event. And I'd like to point out that this was before all the Karen memes. So I'm a staunch Karen defender.
Okay.
And have been for years.
He's a Karen pioneer.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Yeah, it's an absolute Karen trailblazer. So it was this lovely old Volvo. We were racing in open two-wheel drive on that one in the regional class. It was a crazy event to get to it. We, in typical rally sense, ended up with all sorts of gremlins like 2 days before the rally. I think the day our service crew took it out there while we were on recce, the car didn't run. We're like, well, we have to go to recce. Like, best of luck, I suppose. We did a full day worth of recce, ended up coming back and meeting up with our service team. And immediately it's like, is the car running? Like, did you fix the problem? I'm like, what problem? So we fired it up, took it through tech, and everything was fine, brought it back, and it's been running since. Like, oh, okay, well, fingers crossed, I suppose. And at every point during that rally, something was about to go horribly wrong. Like, we ended up losing the bolts off of our prop shaft and finished the event, finished the loop, pulled into service, and our tech, Kelsey, gets underneath the car and is like, how did you finish? There's one bolt left on the prop shaft.
That's all you need.
Yeah, right. Tighten the thing back up. Off we go again. Do the next loop. We come back around and we've stripped the lugs and our lugs are coming off the car. It's like, oh man, like, there is no way this car should have finished the event. But at every step of the way, Karen like pulled through, and I don't know, it was special. I'm still a big Volvo fan because of it. That was one where it's made a mark on me.
That's good. Referencing Karen, knowing Karen, I rode in Karen probably 5 to 7 years before at a test day when Sean Medcroft had owned the car.
Yeah.
But Karen's going to be there this weekend, and you're not driving Karen. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So our last event with Karen was Tour de Forest in 2019, current instructor Sean Edwards ended up buying it off of me. I'll admit a failure on my part, just eventually the car sort of lost its luster to me and I didn't want to put the work into it that it properly deserved. Sean was looking for a rally car at the time. He became obsessed with Volvos, as he should. Volvos are proper cars. Bought it off of me, has given it a complete like rebuild and the love that it deserves. But he's going to be competing in with another instructor, Kendra Miller. So they did a couple of events last year. I think their first event was Oregon Trail. And then they've since done Tour de Forest and Wild West in that car. Apologies, Sean, if I've missed one of those rallies. But she's now gotten a fresh new look and a fresh rebuild for it. And I can't tell you how happy it makes me to see that thing back on stage. Like I said, Sean has done a proper job giving it the love it properly deserves.
Yeah, seeing some of the parts that he had delivered to the school last time I was out here was ridiculous. Seeing, you know, the proper spherical bearings, the suspension. I mean, mm-hmm. the smile on his face when he was opening those boxes in the instructor lounge was something to note. But, yeah, really looking forward to seeing Sean out there. Nate, he looked like he had something.
At least five instructors have had their go.
Has it been that many? Bloody hell. Because I know that you've driven Karen before.
I did,
and
yeah.
also won in Karen.
Yeah.
In a race?
Uh-huh.
What race?
Doo-wop. That was my 20-year, and this huge shout-out to our friend and wrangler of Steve's collection, Big Steve's collection, Sean Medcroft. He allowed me to run the car back when he owned it, and I was approaching my 20th year rally, and that was meaning a lot to me, and as usual, I was between rally cars. And so he said, hey, you want to run it? And it's like, yeah, all you got to do is get some, pick up a couple of parts and get it running. And of course that turned into a bunch of interesting hurdles, but yeah, got to run it. And, we won our, two wheel drive class in that mm-hmm. one. Yeah.
Did it have the compressor surge when you drove it?
Compressor surge.
You know, the instead of the blow off or the open air. I know when Sean used to test that thing, he always had the compressor surge. So when he left off the throttle, it was, I'm not going to try to make the noise on the podcast right now.
No, go ahead.
We'll wait.
Yeah. You know the compressor surge noise, though.
Like blow off valve. Yeah.
Opposite of blow off valve. It's the turbo wheel stopping and starting at a fast rate.
Yeah.
I believe you explained that to me like 15 years ago. So
probably. Yeah, everyone, everything that Brent knows about rally is due to me.
That's definitely, I'm not going to disagree with that. I'll say at least 98% of what I know about rally.
And 98% of it is inaccurate.
The 2% I've learned.
That's right.
Fully by experience.
Yeah, so when Olympus Rally came through in 2004, and Nate won in the Subaru that Petter Solberg was driving at the time, right? I'm remembering this correctly.
Suzuki Swift, actually.
There you go. Oh, sorry.
That
he famously won the world championship.
Peter Solberg drove it.
Peter Solberg.
Exactly.
You know, looking back at 1986, 87, and 88, I'm looking through the Girardo & Co. archive the other day,
I'm
seeing Suzukis. I'm seeing Subarus. What can you tell me about the Suzuki that was out there in 88? Because I had no clue Subaru or Suzuki was out there until I saw those photos.
Monster Tajima. He was a force to be reckoned with, and aligned his motorsports career with Suzuki. So he ended up doing Pikes Peak as well. So any of the Suzuki offerings, like the twin engine, the massive Scudo, I think it was, mm-hmm. that was everyone's favorite on which one of the dirt games was it?
It was Pikes Peak, and it was in Rally Sport Challenge.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Monster Tajima. So he came over in tiny little Suzuki Swifts. For the record, if no one knows, I own a 1990 beautiful, terribly clapped out sight car called Taylor. She's Taylor Swift.
Oh,
thank you.
In case everyone hasn't got that yet. It drove those cars in period, flat out. Very, very fun to watch. But that was a proper factory Group A effort, and they came over from Japan to run a world championship event.
Would that have been a Swift, or would that have been a different model at that time period?
That was an actual Swift. Yeah,
I guess I didn't realize you were dealing with a proper WRC car.
I have been telling you.
You have.
I've seen you set up course. It's proper.
Yeah.
Homologated and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true.
it's a nice car, let's put it that way. We'll fast forward a little bit to current Olympus Rally. You know, we're looking at the start order here. a little bit different than some of the other events this year. Obviously, we've come across the country. For a little perspective to the listeners, we're out in the Pacific Northwest in Washington State, not Washington, D.C. And from 100 Acre, Nate, you have not done the tow, but you've maybe done that drive once or twice. I've done that drive a few times. For perspective, tell us the distance for our listeners here, what it's like to get from the last round to this round.
3 days. I think that's probably a 3 day tow.
At least, yeah.
Yeah. And shout out to our folks in the European nations. That's how long it takes to get from one event to the other. And that's a proper haul as well.
I remember doing the math with Elliot when he was last in town. The equivalent of going to Ojibwe to the Pacific Northwest is the same as if you're in Bath in England and you're about to tow to Moscow.
Okay.
That's the difference that you're looking at.
So it's a proper distance. And that's just a little perspective on, you know, when we're talking about the start order and how it's different from the first two events. You know, you got the Midwest events to start it off. You got that field. And then you got maybe 10, 15 drivers that make it all the way across the country for this event. So kind of going through the start order here, I'm seeing, obviously, Brandon Semenuk, number one there on the start order, or at least the entry list. And then number two, Sam Albert. What can you guys tell me about Sam Albert?
I'm sorry, who? We're so damn proud of Sam, honestly. He's an instructor with us and has been for a number of years. He's very, very part-time at this point, as he's working on a lot of things, mainly building a Ferrari-engined Subaru, which is so stinking cool. It's absolutely impressive.
It's one of the coolest things I've ever heard on stage, like just... Hearing, never heard that type of motor before be revved out that long, but then to see a Subaru go, you know, looking at the courses here at the school, seeing the videos of Sam's car compared to the regular school cars, you know when the cars are supposed to shift, but then you see Sam's car go and it just keeps pulling, you know, like he's in second gear and he's still going. To hear the revs that that car gets out on stage and here at the school is just the sound. I don't know how to describe it. It's amazing.
I'll describe it as the loudest thing I've ever heard up front when he first built it. I know he's made a bunch of changes since, but when he was out here testing on the link, it is just electrifying when you hear it out on the stage. Just that thing actually at full clap down the stage. There's no other car like it in the world.
No.
It is absolutely unique. It's one of the raddest things about Rally, and it is 100% Sam.
Yeah.
It's like that is Sam in a car.
It's ear piercing.
Yeah,
it is ear piercing close at all. And it's cool being out on the stages. Last year when we watched him do Olympus and Oregon. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Olympus, he lost the wheel. I got to be the one to witness it. It was one of the saddest zoom ins I've ever done, as he was driving away on three wheels and that fourth wheel is just rolling right in front of me. But you could hear, I mean, the volunteers, the marshals, the spectators, they're all like, "What is that? What is that noise?" You know. The cars are coming through, but they can hear Sam's car from miles away. None of the other cars you can hear that far.
And it's funny because we have decibel limits here at the school, so we try to keep our neighbors happy. And that was the only time that we've had someone call and not complain, but just ask what it was that we were running.
They're so excited. They wanted to come see it.
Yeah.
I will say, if you've not been following Sam's efforts since last season, is it the last two events he's been at Wild West and at Big White? Now that the car is built, they've done some proper testing on it. That thing is getting more and more reliable as he's dialing it in. He's building more and more into it. If you're looking at like a top level like driver, Sam is going to be a real contender for this event.
Yeah,
he's going to be throwing down, and they figured that car out, and it's unbelievable to see. And we'd need another podcast for me to tell you how much I respect Sam for what he's done for that.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe, you know, after this event, maybe we'll try to get Sam on one of these podcasts and tell us a little bit about that.
Probably do that. Yeah. As long as you know, empty out the champagne from his victories.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, so past two events for Sam have both been overall wins, right? Wild West and Big White?
Correct.
And Big White is part of the CRC, the Canadian Rally Championship. I got that right.
Yeah, cool. I tried, but the Volvo just wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
at Wild West, I tried.
How did Wild West go for you?
That was great.
Did you? I guess I have the stats here in front of me. I could pull it up.
No, it was good. It was a great last effort. We had a lot of problems right before getting there, so we didn't do a lot of recce, but showed up, did a great run as good as we could based on one pass of half buttoxed. I'm editing half buttoxed.
Yeah,
recce. We finished, and that was the last run for the Volvo and our team for probably the foreseeable future.
So, can you hint at any future rallies that you're planning on doing then? If, I mean, not in the Volvo, do you have plans? Maybe a year out, 2 years out, 2 months out?
I have plans for every rally, and then they...
I gotta say, you know, you opened this up and you're like, it's hard to go spectate at these rallies, and I just want to reiterate, I feel the exact same way. You know, coming back into the sport, so to say, last year, and kind of helping out with this media effort we've been putting on here, it's been it's tough going out there and, you know, being someone on the stages, you know, coming from a spectator point and then getting to the point where you're rallying and then getting back to the point where you're not rallying so much is really tough. But being able to spread the word here through Dirtfish and help promote the sport, I've definitely found some peace in that. And I hope you have too a little bit here as we're on this podcast.
Yes, exactly. And everyone should recognize that BK is one heck of a driver and competitor as well. And what's really neat to see is other competitors going, why are you interviewing me? Why are you not beating me on stage like normal? So yes, have to throw a shout out back to BK.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it's tough, but it's fun. You know, it's great. It's not what I expected. You know, you think you're going to go out and spectate and just kind of watch everyone go by, but being able to interview and talk to people, it's like hanging out with old friends. Just, I don't have that stress that they have, which is nice. You know,
you have money at the end of the weekend.
Well, I mean, Sam, I've been talking to Sam, keeping up with him. I'm going to go film him at testing tomorrow. And, you know, he's been sending me these messages. I'll message him. He doesn't get back to me for 2-3 days or something. And then he messages me. It's like midnight. You know, I know he's still in the shop, still working. And he's sending me photos. I'm like, man, I don't miss that part. But I definitely miss rallying. But yeah, going on down the line here, you know, we got Sam. Looks like he's going to be second on the road. Javier Olivares, limited four-wheel drive champion last year as well. And then we got Matthew Dickinson in some form of Subaru here. It says Chimera. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. I've heard rumors. I'm only seeing what's on the starter. Have you guys heard anything? Is that something we should speculate on?
Been very elusive.
He's definitely been elusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you went up on me.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to see what Matthew Dickinson's got out there because it's going to be something interesting. You know, he's always great. We caught up with him at Ojibwe, and then I believe he came to Olympus as well. Or not Olympus, LSPR. A lot of events. But yeah, going down the line here, Andy Miller. He's the top regional starter here, 8th on the road. Nate, what can you tell me about Andy Miller?
Well deserved on that start order. Andy and Sean are just great guys. Like, honestly, we haven't done a lot with them in terms of instruction or working together directly through the school, but they are pure products of the rallycross environment. They have come to nearly every single one of the events that we've held here and have been pretty quick. They're great, laid-back guys who work really hard to do what it is that they do. They both have the talent and drive to get into the sport, and the results have shown. Like, they're proper quick.
Not just proper quick, but proper showman. I mean, I don't know if that's the right term or if he'd appreciate that, but, I mean, they won the 43 Institute Award last year at Oregon, I believe.
Yeah. So proud of them. It's funny. I'm like dad proud about them, even though like we've never actually been students, but they've spent a bunch of time here helping set up course and do stuff during rallycross events on site. I can't say enough high things about them because I feel like they're proper grassroots boys who are working really hard and doing really well. And their results are showing it as well.
You know, stepping back just a little bit there, you say he's kind of a product of the rallycross stuff here, talking about out here. Is that the NWRA? Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Northwest Rally Association, we're blessed with Keto and Katie who put on events here. Well, this year I think we're going to have 5 events on site here, including, of course, the Rallycross Fest, which is the largest rallycross in the world, we're pretty sure. 2-day events, 200 competitors, multiple courses running simultaneously. It's a really, really cool program, and it's all thanks to these folks. And I guess to kind of go off on a tangent, but like what's really neat to see now, the folks who are showing up and competing, but also running service crews and being on stage crews and all of this stuff. Current Northwest Rally is a product of Northwest Rally Association Rallycross events cycled down. You see the folks who started 5 years ago, they're now actively competing or actively heavily involved with the sport up here. And it's really, really cool to see.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a stepping stone in this area and that community.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, the true core of rallycross in the American sense is very similar to autocross in the road racing world is you know, that's your foray into it. And it's quite healthy. It used to be where you'd show up in, you know, some dilapidated thing and go smoke everyone. And now it's, you know, they're battling to tenths of a second to at the end of our winter series after four events, they're still battling to tenths of a second. So there's healthy competition in it, but it's also feeding then into the overall stage rally sport as well.
You know, coming here last year, I got to check out Rallycross Fest for the first time. I'm from the Midwest. We're more about ice racing, you know, in the winter. That's where we get our rallycrosses on. But
dang, that would be fun.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. But I got to say, 200, 220 cars, I think, is what we had at Rallycross Fest last year. Like you said, the largest rallycross in the world, for sure. I'll claim it. Someone can contest me. Yeah. But, you know, not rallycross in the sense of European rallycross where it's door-to-door, more stage rally style, singular, like you're talking autocross style. But the versatility in the cars that were out here for Rallycross Fest was just ridiculous. Some of the most unique, some of the coolest cars, some of the fastest cars. Teams of people building cars together and taking turns driving them. People reviewing video after their small stage, like you said, just because it's so competitive. I was not expecting that at all when I came out here.
Yeah, it's really fun to see. And it's a healthy group of like-minded individuals, and that's how anything results in success. So you have a bunch of people who are enthusiastic about it. You create a healthy environment and a place to do it and just let them go. And they've turned this into this series where we have one coming up in a couple of weeks, actually. And I think they capped it at 110 attendees, competitors, and it sold out in, I think it was like a minute and a half or 2 minutes or some ridiculous number. Like,
yeah, I know, I'm on the wait list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's a wait list as long as the entry list. Like, what's really neat is where they're by creating healthy, competitive, environments that people can compete in, they're creating this fervor and also serious competition that's directly feeding into the sport we love so much.
You know, that was kind of my next question was, you know, how long do you have to sign up for that world's largest rallycross? It, you said it there. It's like a minute or 2 minutes. You know, it's like a supreme drop that we're doing for rallycross signups here. It is crazy to think that there's, you know, 200, 300 people waiting for that signup to go live for rallycross just to get involved with the sport. And that is a great example for the feeder series of getting into rally. You know, 220 people fighting to get that entry just to be able to compete in a grassroots type thing. Then feeding into Andy Miller, getting up to that level of rally, not only getting to the level of rally, but winning regionals.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's the king of rallycross at the moment.
Could be. You know, moving down the regional line here, I'm seeing a name that you might be familiar with. I caught up with him at the end of 100 Acre Wood. He won the regional there in a Ford Proto, I believe he bought from Peter Fratella. What can you tell me about Todd Hartman, winner of the regional rally at 100 Acre Wood?
Some may know him as Throttlin' Toddlin'. Or Hot Toddy, as I like to call him.
Okay.
Todd has been around the sport. I'm going to date him because, well, not in like a romantic sense, but I'm going to say that he was involved with it well before I was, like way before I was, so far along before that I was a child when he was racing. No, he's such a cool guy, but one of those family members of the rally sport where I really don't see him the rest of the year, but then when we do get together, we have a blast and laugh our heads off. Very, very good competitor. The coolest thing about Todd is he builds the cleanest cars. He has the cleanest shop, the cleanest support rig. He looks like a factory effort even when he was running his Mark II Golf. Like, and he was the benchmark guy back when Group 2 with it was a thing, which was a two-wheel drive, two-liter, basically.
Okay.
And that was the first stepping stone for the young up-and-comers like myself at the time. And so he was the benchmark that I was going after. He had the cool, clean car, and I had my crappy first car, and I was chasing after him as the benchmark. So he's always been a fast driver. He left for a little bit, got into some road racing stuff, and has come back very strongly with this proto. That's really, really cool to see him, because good driver and a good car is always going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, I met him last year. I think Oregon was the first time I met him with you, and we did a little interview there because he was leading the regional. He was leading the regional there, and just a great guy. I obviously know the car from Peter Fratella. He's kind of from my side of the country there, so I know Peter really well. Seeing that car, very familiar, same wrap and everything, was awesome. And then I talked to him at 100 Acre, and he told me he started in the 80s. So just to put a rough time period on it, he told me his first rally was in the 80s. Yeah, which was crazy. And he told me, and then he said, well, Nate was this little kid running around getting a rally. And I'm like, wow, I know Nate. He's taught me 98% everything I know about rally.
Which was 98% wrong, yes.
So moving down the line here, Jack, anyone standing out to you that you're looking forward to paying attention to this weekend?
So a local bloke I've had the opportunity to work with quite a bit is Julian. He's in the Western Regional in a Yaris this time. Last time I saw him, he was in a Ford Fiesta. Julian is a longtime Dirtfish alumni. He's been through multiple classes more times than I can count. Generally a good dude. He's fast as heck. One of the people that you get in the car with him and right away, you're not really going to be teaching him how to drive, more just how he can find extra speed, if that makes sense. Okay. It's a subtle but important difference. He also brings incredible brandy for the post-rally event, so I'll throw him under the bus for that, but there you go.
And he makes great pizzas.
He does make great pizzas, yeah. Follow him on Instagram if you want to get really hungry.
Okay.
But
go fast, eat pizza.
There you go.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, because I had to interview him a couple times last year, and I dodged it because I couldn't pronounce his last name. How do you say his last name properly?
Well, I would like to just throw it out there. As an English person, it's my right to make an abomination of the French language. But I think it's Sabot.
Okay.
So it's Julian Sabot.
That's what I've been saying last year. I try to get everyone's names right, but I mean, there's a lot of people in this community, and I try.
Julian, I apologize. I'll also apologize to a friend of Dirtfish and previous photographer, Roman Bollier. I believe it's pronounced. So.
Roman's going to be out there this weekend, too. Yeah. I've slaughtered so many names. I've slaughtered his name a few times last year.
I've done the voice.
Roman
Beaulieu.
Beaulieu.
Yeah, and I think he looks at me strange when I attempt to pronounce his name correctly.
Don't worry, Brenton, I understand. I did voiceover. It's tough.
You just got to try, right?
You know what?
You're here to help, and if you get a name wrong, people can roast you. That's
it's fine. The thought that matters.
Yeah, you know? It's the thought that counts. We want to promote. We want to help. That's why we're here. Going down the line, fairly stacked, just general start order. I mean, we're looking at 72 cars right now. I'm not sure if they've capped it at 70 and they got a couple extras. Sometimes they cap these rallies and open it up later when they realize they have the volunteers to help support that time period. You know, that's something to think about, is everyone always thinks like, you know, why don't you just put 100 cars in? That's more time. You know, that last car is not going to be finishing the rally till 1, 2 a.m. and then have to get back up and be at Park Exposé for 7, 8 a.m. They have to cap these rallies. It's the only way to really make it happen efficiently. Sean Donnelly is back in the mix. Oh, I clicked on his name there on the start order. Sean Donnelly, limited two-wheel drive champion from last year, mm-hmm. making the trek across the country. You've had the chance, Jack, to work with Sean. What can you tell me about Sean?
I'm dead excited to see him out here. I had the opportunity to work with Sean when he came through one of the Oz Rally Pro co-driving courses that we'd worked with Rhiannon and Alex Gelsomino. Sean was just getting into the sport at the time and was making an effort to properly understand all aspects of rally. So right away he's coming into it. It was his first event in like 2 weeks when we did the class. And the forethought and the foresight of a driver getting in, like, I want to go do this event, therefore I need to properly understand what the co-driver needs from me, was remarkable at the time. Like, going through the class, I was told right away, like, this dude's pretty switched on. had the opportunity to get in the car with him. It was his first time doing anything like it, calling pace notes, first lap through. If you've never taken one of these programs, we'll sort of work with the co-driver as they go through it. If they're on point, we'll drive like a co-driver that's on point, and we need to push you to that limit. First lap through, I'm absolutely full throttle through our courses. He was 100% dialed, reading the road, asking the right questions all the way through, and asking how we can go faster based on his pace notes. He was unbelievably chill, loved every second of it, and I can't tell him how proud I am to see him competing all last year and then finding so much success in his two-wheel drive category. Working with the Live Center, getting to meet up with him on every event, and seeing that he's getting more and more dialed each and every step. So seeing him come out to, you know, my neck of the woods and seeing what the Northwest is about, I can't wait to see what he can do. He's really someone to pay attention to for this event.
Definitely. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I want to step back, though, just a second. He came and took the co-driver class.
Yeah.
He's so a driver.
He was just getting into the sport. He'd made the commitment that rallying is what he wants to be doing. I believe his first event, apologies if I'm getting the date wrong, I think it was something like 100 acre. It was relatively
100 acre last year.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty early on in the season that he was jumping into it. But he was making the commitment to go for a full challenge, that he was going to be getting into rallying, and sort of had this thought that if I want to be a competitive driver, I need to properly understand the co-driver's role. So he came in to understand how to call pace notes as a driver, what he needs to know to talk to his co-driver. And like I said, just the foresight of understanding, if I want to be good, I need to know what my teammate is doing. And so taking on his shoulders to understand his teammate's role fully, experience what it's like in the car from the right seat, and then apply that to his own driving and how he works with his co-driver.
Yeah, and in a sense, that gives you an expectation of what you want as well, mm-hmm. to find out of your co-driver, to say, hey, this is what I need. And this is what I expect from someone as well. And that's, huge, huge amount of respect.
Absolutely. And I think that's sort of what separates, I mean, to be quite frank, getting into the sport, that separates a competitor from a champion. It's like first year taking on national challenge and he wins limited two-wheel drive. Right, that's the difference right there. And that's what's going to set someone ahead. So seeing him come out over here and he's thrown down for another championship, like, Sean's one to watch properly.
Yeah. You know, going into 100 Acre, I think there was 14 limited two-wheel drive cars going into 100 Acre. And I talked to Sean before the event. Sean's always great to catch up with. He's so cool, calm, collected, whether he's at the stage end or just hanging out. And, you know, he's telling me before the event, he's like, I've never felt more prepared for a rally. You know, he's only being a year into it, but he's never been more prepared and more focused. And the competition was just 14 cars. Like, that's proper competition. The people that were going to be competitive with each other. He saw some of that competition and was having to fight to get some of those stage times, and he eventually lost brakes. So it was unfortunate to see. I saw the onboard, it's out there, he's posted it. He lost brakes and ended up rolling and didn't finish the rally. But, you know, I can only imagine he's coming back even more cool, more calm, more collected, more
motivated.
Exactly. More motivated to get back. Cause, you know, I kept asking him before the rally, like, you know, championship in mind. And he goes, no, I want to win this rally. He's like, there's good competition here. He's like, I don't care about the championship. And I'm like, that's a true competitor. Like, you can, awesome. Yeah. So I'm so excited to see how he does out here. Going to be a good one to watch. Jack, anyone else that's standing out to you on this list that you want to bring up?
Well, I want to give a shout out to another friend of Dirtfish, Rich O'Healy. He's going to be out competing with fellow senior instructor, Michelle Miller. Richo's an absolute top bloke. He's a blast. If you've not spoken to Richo, go talk to him, because he'll make you laugh at some point. But another example of someone who's completely switched on. When he's not rallying, Richo is doing his very calm, boring job of jumping out of planes and competing in the Australian, is it skydiving team? I think that's what it is for it. It's a really relaxed guy, super chill. not a thrill seeker at all. Richo has shown that he's competitive. It was at Ojibwe last year. Was it his second or third rally? And he's ending up on the podium in a competitive class. Him and Michelle are going out and competing again for Olympus. Can't be more excited for him and more proud of him. I remember working with Richo the first Dirtfish class he took, where he's like, hey, I have a Subaru. I'm looking forward to, like, trying to see what it can really do. And seeing him, two and a bit years later, and he's actively competing. It's like, I remember working with him on the slalom, where it's like, okay, don't throttle through everything. Yeah. It's his first run was absolute performance athlete of like, right, I'm going fast. And being able to take that criticism to the face, honestly and not personally, be like, right, okay, I do need to go faster. And recognizing his second lap through, like, okay, this guy's got talent. He's one to watch.
Yeah, you know, seeing Richo, I didn't get to work with him in the school at all, but last year we interviewed him at the end of his first stage at Oregon, and he came off the stage, and it was reverse order. So it was his first rally. You know, he's probably pretty far back, second or second to last car, something like that. But with the reverse order, he was first car on the road. So he had that pressure being his first rally, first or second car on the road. And he came off the finish line. He's like, I did it. I finished the stage. You know, like to see that excitement from coming off your first stage to then getting a podium at Ojibwe. And then having a little bit of an off at LSPR on day one with Michelle, mm-hmm. where, you know, they came up on another car that was off the road, saw the triangle. He, you know, switched sides of the road to avoid the car. And then something happened, got slippery. But what I wanted to bring up is he came back to the school after that. You know, he hit that tree at LSPR on day one. They were able to get it back together. But he wanted to come back to the school, and he wanted to replicate that exact corner that he had crashed on. Mm-hmm. Can either of you guys tell me anything about that? Because I wasn't here for that part. I'm sure Michelle worked with him a bit. Did you know about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And credit to Michelle. I mean, they went and set up a high-speed section. They went up and set up a corner. They actually ran the course a few times to get the material where they needed it to go, and then deliberately took a wrong line. Like, right, okay, this is the line that we took. It's off-road. Let's see what the car does as you experiment through it. And I think that's the benefit of coming to somewhere like this, is we can set up these scenarios which happen in a one-in-a-million environment on stage. But again, that sort of a performance mindset, that he had a bit of an off, he had a bit of a moment, and it wasn't, there was no excuses, there was no writing off of, oh, well, it's just one of those weird rally things. It's like, right, how can I do every aspect of this better? And that's his first thought, come back out, let's make it wrong to make it right.
It's cool. I mean, obviously we're here at the school in this environment where you can cater to that, but it's not often we find a competitor that wants to replicate the bad things so that they can turn it into something good, right? You want to figure out exactly what went wrong and how can I turn that around.
As we know, rallying is more than just the perfect line and the perfect speed, right? You're taking racing lines, you're trying to get the fastest line through. That's the whole point of racing. But the reality of it is there's so many variables, and how many variables can you replicate? So let's make it wrong, let's figure it out
and adapt.
Yep.
Looking forward to adapting here this weekend. Looking forward to 16 stages, just over 150 stage miles, longest stage and potentially longest rally of the ARA championship. I'd say Nuozzo at 22.9 might be the longest stage in the ARA currently. There has been some other ones. I'm sure there might be some people that could correct me on that, but I'll take a swing and say that. Anyone else here on this list, Jack, that you're seeing? I mean, there's just so many, 70 people, so many people, associates of Dirtfish, friends of Dirtfish that have been out here that are competing now. You know, it's great to see students, people that are rally crossing and now going out, whether they have taken a class or not. Who are you looking to watch this weekend, Nate?
Kasen Peterson. That is a...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very... I'm just going to call him a kid. Awesome kid. Very, very nice. His dad, Scott, comes up and helps get him into it. They're just wonderful people, come up here and they're very excited. They have taken a bunch of classes, and this is one of those folks who come through and you're like, oh, okay, wow, we're moving. You're shifting where most aren't.
Yeah.
and then he won our invitation-only sprint event by a good amount, to the point where the rest of the folks who were competing were like, well, yeah, there's that guy, but how did I do? So this will be his first event, and it's very, very, very exciting. We've been talking about how to get a car and how to get him into a car, and it was like, well, cool. Michael Hooper has these cars available to rent. Good guy, good solid cars, great starting platform. Try that out. And they've been talking for a bit, and here we are. So I'm personally, as Uncle Tennis, I'm very excited to see him do it.
Yeah, I mean, you've worked with Kasen as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. And feel free to cut the story if it's embarrassing. But I remember first advanced class I worked with Kaysen. It was Kaysen, his dad, and his brother. And we were running the advanced mill run, and they were getting competitive in and amongst themselves. So it's like, yeah, we're doing laps and whatever, but am I beating you? And I was with Kaysen's dad and then with Kaysen. So they were doing a lap, timed his dad as we were going through. Cool, here's our time. I got in with Kaysen. We went and did a lap. He must have been like 16 or 17 at the time or something like that. Clocked his time. I go back on top of the hill, and immediately it's like, what's his time? How's he doing? It's like, man, you're really not going to like what I'm about to tell you, but he is 15 seconds faster than me. And like, oh, really? Okay. Kind of joking off. And it's like, again, you're really not going to like me. That kid deserves to be in a race car. Yeah. Like, you're now seeing dollar signs like the Matrix just like appearing in front of you, but that kid's got to be in a race car. It's just one of the most naturally talented kids that I've worked with.
Yeah, I've worked with all three of them, you know, both brothers and the dad. I did a private with them last year before the sprint, and then I worked with the dad on the, in the sprint as well. And yeah. Everyone kind of warned me getting in, like, you know, Kaysen's, he's fast. He's a fast guy. And I get in the car, and I'm like, yeah, okay. I work with fast people all the time. And no. Kaysen's fast. Such a unique driving style that I think, you know, he's going to be in this two-wheel drive here this weekend. But some of the all-wheel drive stuff he was doing was very interesting. It was one of those moments as an instructor where I'm like, what is he doing? Because he's making it work. You know? And obviously he'd already been through, you know, 10, 15 days of instruction or something like that, maybe 10 days of instruction over the past couple of years by the time I worked with him. So he'd had a lot of experience here, but fast.
Yeah.
The whole family's proper fast, but I'm super excited to see Kaysen. It sounds like he's going to be doing a couple of events. Mm-hmm. So Kaysen is starting 68th on the road this weekend.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if he's at least worked his way up to the 30s by day one or two. Day one, I guess.
I think the big difference is, you know, okay, we've been training here, we've been riding dirt bikes, we've been doing this, but nothing really prepares you for going to the woods until you've actually gone to the woods. And that amount of speed has to be tempered a little and focused for the long run. And smart enough person, and I think he could do that, but still there are so many variables that you can't write a list of variables that you that can be presented to a person on their very first stage. So I think getting through that first day will be a huge one. This is a heck of a first event, that's for sure.
Definitely. You know, and having Allison LaRosa with him too, having a great experienced co-driver.
Yes.
He's proper set up there. You know, I think he's got a lot of opportunity.
Yep.
And like you're saying, it's all about, you know, keeping yourself a little bit slower for that first day. Just get the finish down.
Just get through the first event.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like we say with every new student when they go out to the stage. It's like, what should I be focusing on? It's like, finish the rally. Like, just do that event, finish all of it, have the high fives afterwards. Then you can start worrying about like really throwing down. Just get it done, go do the event, drive some cool roads, then worry about everything else.
It's a tough thing being a competitive person like Kaysen and the whole Peterson family there is, you know, you want to look at times right away.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed by how many people I've interviewed last year that are winning regionals or winning their class. And I go, you know, how are you looking? And they're like, oh, I haven't looked at times.
Yeah.
You know, it's you're driving your own race.
Yeah. Admittedly, that was me 100% for most of what I did as a kid. Because I didn't do a lot of competitive sports. I was a weird AV kid. Like, I played with videos and did my own thing. So that competitive environment for me was really hard to deal with, and I can easily get into my head. So I would just ignore the times and just do the best I could and focus on it, which is kind of one of the fun things about rallying, honestly, is you aren't directly next to somebody. So, you know, at the same time, you're not worried about how you're performing. You're doing the best because you're concentrating on what you're doing. And it also builds a bit of camaraderie because you aren't directly fighting with someone at the same time as well. But there is a difference in the sport when you start focusing on the times and what are we doing and how are we doing compared to those guys and what's going on here and what's going on there. And it does almost detract from what you're doing and sort of the enjoyment of it. And it does engage a different part of the brain for a competitor.
Yeah.
And for those less practiced in it, that was a really hard thing to overcome, honestly, for me personally.
It's I'd say the same thing, you know, like the fact that you're not door to door with someone, you know, you finish, and my first rally, everyone told me, don't look at times. Second rally, don't look at times. And
that was hopefully the 2% that I told you.
It was. No, it was 98%. You know, even my first rally, I was texting you like every hour before it with all sorts of weird questions and stuff, running two left tires on the front. I had it all sorted out.
So damn brother.
Like, I went back the other day and I'm looking at, you know, Sneak Attack Rally, look at some of my old times and some of my old time sheets I've saved, and like seeing the first and second rally and seeing those times, I'm like, if I had looked at that at stage two and known I was going that fast, I probably would have gone faster. And it's a good thing I didn't. And that's exactly, you know, what we're coming back to with Kaysen is like, Kaysen, if you're listening to this, don't look at times on day one. You're going to do great.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I'll add to that. That was us at Olympus, where, you know, I kind of mentioned at the beginning where we were having all sorts of mechanical problems going into the rally. So we were just trying to finish the stage, and we'd finish up and we're high-fiving at the end of it. And it was like, how are we doing? And Eric, bless him, went, it's water. It's fine. And okay, cool. And we'd go and drive as hard as we were willing to. And we'd finish the final stage. We're just elation. Like, yeah, there we go. We finished the rally. And that's when Eric was like, I think we might have a podium position here. I was like, oh, really? So we found out that we needed to go to the podium while I was sitting on the hood of the car drinking a beer at the end of the event. And they're like, are you going to the podium? We're like, yeah, we'll go root our friends on. They're like, no, you. Like, oh, okay. Sure. The best thing you can do is be competitive with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, if you can go out there and know that I drove the right rally, that's what's going to set you apart. Be competitive with yourself. Don't worry about anyone else, because they're not in the same car as you. They've not driven the same roads that you have. Go and drive your rally.
Yeah.
That's what's going to put you apart.
You know, I hear this saying a lot, you know, it's your rally to lose, or this person's rally to lose. A lot of people always look at, you know, whoever's leading, and it's like the only person that's going to beat them is themselves. You know, making that mistake or trying to push too hard where you've got it. And I think that resonates throughout the field. It is always your rally to lose. You know, it's your job to keep yourself calm and collected and understand your own limits. And that's what we'd like to instill and teach here. I think you guys would maybe agree.
100%. Yeah. It's funny. There are often events where, you know, you'll do extremely well, but you feel like you drove poorly. Like, it's like, man, I blew that. I missed this shift. I was off the road there. I didn't hit the lines the way I wanted to. And, you know, you still may have finished well, and you're like, yeah, cool, we finished well. And then it's almost feels like a hollow victory.
Yeah.
And then you drove your heart out, or you overcame some massive adversity, or you got the absolute max out of your car at that time, and yourself and your co-driver, and you were connected, and it was the most wonderful feeling you could ever think about. But you didn't finish that well.
Yeah.
Or maybe you DNF'd on a stage and you're just rushing back and you're getting to run, but then, you know, the pressure isn't there and you're just able to drive and focus. And I've been in a couple of instances where that happened, and it was like, well, we could pack up and go home, or we can go, you know, car's fueled up, we got tires, let's go. And very, very, very happy that we've done that and ended up like with some of my favorite memories of driving, just from having a, you know, a personal success. And of course, you know, the timesheets always show we had a DNF, but that is, in terms of like personal success, those are the events that I rate the highest overall.
Finishing position is not the story of the weekend, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's something special, rally. You know, like we get so many students that come out here, we do the Boneyard or something, you got five or six corners and they're so focused. Well, I did that one corner wrong. And I always tell people, like, you're going to do a rally, you're going to see hundreds of corners, and you're never going to get all of them right. You're going to make those mistakes. Rally's not about making every single corner perfect. It's about getting it back together, figuring it out, not thinking about that previous corner, and continuing to press on. And I think that's kind of what you're saying here, right? You know, don't focus on those bad moments. Press on, get to the finish.
Yeah, absolutely. What is behind you or what you're on right now doesn't matter. It's all about how you get to the end of that particular corner and how you can adapt that into the following corner and then put a string of all of that together, and that's a stage.
And it feels good, doesn't it?
Unreal. Now I'm getting disappointed that I'm not driving.
Yeah, me too. We're all there. I think we'll all be at the event this weekend. If you see us, come find us, give us a high five, maybe a fist bump. Jack, how are you feeling about the weekend?
Oh, I'm so stoked. I think I've said it a couple of times now. I really think Olympus is something special. Not only do we have the history, not only are we close that it's our home event, they are elite tier roads, and the era of Group B has proven it. The growth of rally in not only North America, but it never died in the Pacific Northwest. The Northwest Rally Northwest Rally Association getting stronger and stronger every year. Dirtfish getting stronger and stronger every year. The competitors that are showing up to these events are getting stronger and stronger every year. If you want to see what rallying is going to be looking like in America over the next 10, 15 years, the Pacific Northwest and Washington, I truly believe that this is the crown jewel of what American rally is about.
I don't know if I should chime in. I'm from the Midwest. No, I agree with you.
I'll fight you, mate. When did Group B show up to the Midwest?
1973.
It wasn't Group B, but yeah, the WRC did come to the Midwest. Just for clarification, I get so many people that tell me I'm out here in the Pacific Northwest. I'm from the Midwest. It's the other side of the country, and they always say, we're the only place that had a WRC event. Michigan's had one or two.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the Jeep win, with Henderson, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. So the Lancia Delta.
The Moby Dick beat the factory Fiat Team.
And so, what did they do when the guy from Michigan won the WRC round? They banned four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Foul.
Yep.
Can't win.
Jeep Wagoneer. Wagoneer. Mm. Beautiful. I mean, talk about aerodynamics.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had the third row still in the back, I think.
Yes, exactly.
No, I'll proudly fly the Pacific Northwest flag. Like, this is the place to be for it. It's so special. When you see Juha Kankkonen winning an event in Tacoma, like, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you know, all of our social medias will be flooded with 86, 87, 88, Pacific Northwest Olympus Rally.
And 85, first time a Sport Quattro S1 E2 ran in proper anger was Hannu Mikkola.
In 85 here?
In 85, yeah, because it was a tester event, yeah.
I may have heard about that in the Mikkola video that came out recently, but I didn't see any photos of it or footage of it yet. So
yeah, it was on the banner for the rally, yeah. He won by like 40 minutes or something.
Was that when he was not even running the race, but just as the zero car?
No, I believe they entered, correct me if I'm wrong, someone, but I believe that he actually was entered in, but the rest of it was, you know, the rest of us local regional guys running an event, although I was four, seven, but no, he actually ran and competed, I believe is the real story, but was, you know, minutes ahead.
Yeah. Would have been the development years before they took the car actually into WRC then, right?
I believe so. I think after that, then they actually entered RAC rally with it in 85, but my inner nerd is screaming at me right now for not knowing this off the top of my head, but I believe that's what happened.
I'm going to agree because 98% of what I know about rally is from Nate, so I have to agree with him. If I find something else out, I'll give that 2%, but I think that's going to about do it for us here, guys. Anything else you guys want to add about Olympus Rally? Any tips for spectators? Any tips for people watching online? Where should they enjoy their social media?
Well, you know, if you're looking for the most up-to-date content on rallying, you should check out dirtfish.com. I've heard there's some pretty cool guys that are updating that. Check out the Dirtfish YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram. We're going to be giving updates as we go.
You know, I just want to state, it is going to be a constant flow of rally updates this weekend because we've got WRC Croatia going on the same time as Olympus Rally, where we're at and heading to right now. But, I mean, there's a little bit of a gap. So, I mean, you could literally, if you're staying up for the next 24 hours, for the next 3 or 4 days, you can watch rally updates nonstop, dirtfish.com. Check out the Dirtfish YouTube channel, Instagram, Facebook. We'll be updating you guys all weekend. Both rallies, full crews at both. Anything else you guys want to add?
Come join us and actually drive a rally car at Dirtfish Rally School in Snoqualmie, Washington.
Exactly. That's also an option. Don't just attend and spectate rallies, but get involved, get to the school, learn to drive. You're only about a year away from being able to compete. You know, some of these stories we told today Richo, Sean, you know, winning championships their first year into rally. That is possible here. Come to Dirtfish. Check us out.